Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, merciful Almighty God, as we gather in this space, this Father's Day, and as we look at this Father Abraham, we pray, Lord, that You would bring Your message to us. Guide us in this difficult passage. Help us understand what You're calling us to. Forget my notes, Lord, and speak as You would have us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I go to Kansas, my dad and I have this little tradition. And it usually happens within the first few hours of my arrival, unless I arrive at 11 o'clock at night, which has happened. Dad will proceed to sort of grab me. Sometimes it feels like isolation to Mom and Charlene. They sort of have to watch us go. And Dad will proceed to take me out to the machine shed and walk through all the things that have happened on the farm since my last visit. Of course, that meant up until March 3rd, going through the barn as well, and things have changed. That walk usually brings a time of reflection, you know, from the last time to this time, these things have changed. And it doesn't usually just stop with, you know, I bought a new gyromore. Or I broke this weld on the cultivator and I had to weld it up. To, so how are things going for you? How are things happening in your life? You know, Mom and I are feeling this. We're going through that. And so it's a walk that we sort of recite our lives together as Father and as Son. When we look at this passage from Genesis chapter 22, we need to realize from the get-go that God was testing Abraham as to how far his faith would take him and how really obedient was this man, Abraham. And when I almost wasn't going to preach it, because this is, to me, a very volatile, dangerous passage, until I hit that last line and realized that Abraham and everybody else went home together. And the question the Lord gave me in the midst of that is, so what do you think they talked about? What do you think they talked about? Now, I don't know how many of you men happen to be sons. Show of hands. Yeah. I think most of us men are sons, right? And if you put yourself in that situation, you think about this Abraham, he's gotten this call from God to take his one and only son, his pride and joy, given by Almighty God, to start a nation. That's the promise that we have in Genesis chapter 12. And the question goes for quite a while, so where's this kid going to come from? Abraham and Isaac and Sarah sort of jumped the gun in there for a while. But finally they get this precious child. And they're raising this precious child to create a nation. And what does God do but say, hey, don't Abraham, go up on the mountain and sacrifice your one and only son. And Abraham, we don't have a lot of moaning or groaning recorded, but I imagine Abraham's mind was full of questions. And not only would Abraham's mind have been full of questions, but I imagine Isaac's was too. Because as we go through this passage, we see that in verses 9 and 10, or verse 7 and 8. Isaac's big enough for the wood to be put on his back. He's big enough to haul the wood for the sacrifice. And he's big enough to ask the question, you know, Lord, you know, Abraham, Dad, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, so where's the sacrifice? Dude, there's something missing here, Dad. You forgot it, you left it at home. And Abraham answers in verse 9, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went off together. What would you think if you were Isaac and going through those next two verses, 9 and 10? You get to arrive to the place, Dad's put together the altar, Dad's put the wood in place, and all of a sudden, sons, Dad turns to you. What would be the question going through your mind? Whoa, dude, what's going on here? And Dad ties you up and he lays you on the altar. Many years ago, I was in a play that was dramatically putting this scene in place. And in the course of the scene, I laid out the wood. I was Abraham, God bless me. And the young man that was, I bound Isaac. There was dialogue in here between Abraham and Isaac. And Abraham was trying to tell his son, I am doing this because of my faith. I believe God will provide the lamb, but he's told me to do this. And I won't stop just because of my own feelings. I will follow through and obey everything he's asked me to do. Sorry, son, this is part of it. Everything really worked quite well. We got Isaac down on the altar until the angel was late on her line. And I sort of, it gave me that funny feeling. And I wonder if it was the same feeling that Abraham had. When that moment was coming and the knife was in his hand, what did he feel? Because that's the moment that his faith was actually tested. He could go through all the other pieces until that moment. But when that moment was before him, he needed to understand, either I obey God or I don't obey God. He's called to me to this. I must go through with it, even though it defies everything within me. Now, I don't know whether there's any fathers among us this morning that feel tested, that feel like one way or another, maybe it's grandpas, maybe great-grandpas, men who are men of faith leading in your households, and you feel tested. God is faithful. And he calls us as men, just like he did Abraham, to live into that test that he's put before us. Because there's a reason for the test, and there's a reason that he has put together for the outcome. We will often question why God is doing what he's doing. But we need to remind ourselves, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that he will not test us beyond what he knows we can do. And he will always give us a way out. God's promised that. God reserves the right to test our limits. We see that in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. We see it alluded to in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. God reserves that. And you say, oh, why, preacher? Why does God need to test us? Excuse me. But anything that is worth its weight will be tested. You drive a car? Did you test drive it? Did it go through testing and standards? Did it go through all those things to make sure that it met a certain criteria? You think of gold. It has a certain purity. But that purity is determined by fire. Where in the flames it can purge all that impurity. Brothers and sisters, our faith is of much more value than anything else on this earth, especially to God. He reserves the right and privilege to test us. And you say, so what's the outcome? Why does God need to test us? What purpose does it have? And it's this. So that we can be the Abrahams to our Isaacs. So that we can pass the faith on to the next generation. I think way too often we live our faith in isolation. And I'm guilty. Especially around our kids. In the midst of our trials and our tribulations, we escape to a corner of our workshop. We go down to the coffee shop. We get away from our children in the times when we're tempted and tried and wounded and weary. When we need to shed our tears, yeah, guys cry once. We don't do it often. I nudge us, like Abraham, to live out our faith in front of our children. To live out our faith in front of our children. And I'm going to differ with Gil just a little bit. You're not done raising them. You'll be raising those kids till you're a great, 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 great grandpa. Because in one way or another, we are building a legacy by the way we live our lives in the here and now. And we need to do it in front of our kids. They need to know our struggles and how God is helping us every step of the way through those struggles. They need to see us grounded and rooted in the Word. They need to see us reading this Bible. One of the things that bothers me about having the Bible on my cell phone, and I do have the Bible on my cell phone, is my kids won't know the difference between me reading my Bible on my cell phone or playing a video game. Oh, wow. I got an amen on that one. Our children, no matter how old they are, need to see us in God's Word. They need to see us. Call upon Almighty God for the guidance we need for each and every day. Not only the big decisions, especially in the big decisions, but also those daily decisions. Just like Isaac saw his dad prepare for that sacrifice and not know exactly what the way out was going to be. Our children also need to see us praise God when the breakthroughs come. I think of Abraham. After that angel broke through and stopped him. How must he felt when that sacrifice, that ram, was right there caught in the bush and was ready there to be the sacrifice that they could worship with that afternoon? God provided. Now we know that this affected Isaac. We know he grew as a man of faith. We see him praying in chapter 24, 63 in meditation as his wife Rebekah is brought to him. We see him in chapter 26, 25, working with other governments. We see him actually in meditation and prayer. And it brings me back to how did this man Abraham talk to his son after this major event of faith as they walked home from Mount Moriah. We also need to acknowledge that in one way or another, every one of us is here this morning as an outflowing of Abraham's faith. Because Abraham's faith has been handed down from generation to generation all the way from the time of Abraham. And often when the faith of the Jews was talked about, it was talked about in regards to being the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But when we talk about this event, I also want to allude to the fact that this is critical to our understanding of Jesus. Because when we come to John chapter 3, verses 16, and would you recite it for me, with me? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." In one way or another, when we see that scene on Mount Moriah, when we see the sacrifice Abraham is willing to make of Isaac, we need to remind ourselves that it is a precursor, if you will, to a loving Almighty Father who was willing to give up His Son for you and me. For you and me. And He went through with it. It's no wonder, seeing that example, we have Jesus talking about His Father in John chapter 5. And when questioned, John chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, Jesus gave them this answer: "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do only what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever His Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. Yes, to your amazement, He will show Him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom He is pleased to give it." So as we consider this example of Abraham and Isaac, these are some things I'd like for you men to take home with you. And if you want to take them home, ladies, you can too. Fathers, include your children in your faith walk. Maybe like me, you're going to have to grab them and bring them alongside you. But continue walking with them in your faith and in theirs. Even as adults, walk with your children in your faith. Men, even if you're not a father, come alongside a young man, a man who needs to see a man of faith walk. And, you know, we're not all fathers yet. But what I notice, one of the strongest things that we can be as a body of Christ is to be those men walking with other men in faith. And in my time here at Lower Deer Creek, I think of the Alvins and the Lesters and the Henrys. And I better stop there before I get teary. Those men of faith who have walked with me. And we as faith, men of faith, need to walk with those men among us that are younger. Because in one way or another, we are passing on a legacy, whether they're our own children or not. And in this day and time, if there's anything needed, it is hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Without it, our world could be lost. And finally, a reminder to us all, faith firmly established will give strength even to the exhausted for the time of storm. And there I think of Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. You guys might feel tired. It might be this Father's Day. You've got the whole afternoon maybe mapped out for recliner time. Maybe you've had that kind of week. I just want to encourage you to be nurturing that faith that God has given you, because that's what will keep you going when you think you cannot put one more foot in front of another. Our hymn this morning reminds us that the faith that we have is one way or another built on the generations that come before us. I chose to use the red hymnal, verses 262, because it talks about fathers. We're going to have a prayer, and then I've got some instructions before we do the hymn. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word and this dangerous example of Abraham. We thank you for the faith of a man who is willing to go to all lengths, even sacrificing his own hope, because he has faith in you. Heavenly Father, with that example in mind, we go from this place this morning, seeking to live as your people, people of faith in this day and time. Lord, help us bring hope where we find hopelessness. Help us bring peace where we find chaos. Help us build upon those of faith who have come before us. For Jesus' sake and in Jesus' name, amen.